This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest in the studio is Nita Johnson. She's from Clovis, California. She's the head of World for Jesus Ministries. She provokes me to jealousy. She's my friend. And I believe that it's not an accident you are listening to this interview. It's by divine commission of God. Because I'm holding in my hand a book that's going to open up everything to you. Because if the judgments to the world are coming in our lifetime, as I believe they are, and they could be very, very soon, they could be sooner than any of us even think, even speculate, then the only ones that are going to overcome will be those that have such union and intimacy with God that, as Nita said on yesterday's broadcast, the Lord said to her, how would you like to have every one of your prayers answered? And I'm not talking about some formula where you use God so you become wealthy. I'm not talking about any of that. Now, God does bless people financially for the kingdom's sake, but there's been a whole perversion on that type of a message. But, Nita, this is the last day of the week. I want you to teach some principles of prayer that the Holy Spirit has shown you.
The Bible teaches us that if we want to live a life of overcoming prayer, there are certain things we have to live out in our daily life in order to do that. It starts with actually praying, spending time talking to the Lord. People tell me all the time, well, I just talk to him all day long. Not the way he wants to be talked to. He is the king of all of creation. He wants our time. He wants our devotion. He wants our dedication. He wants us to step aside and spend time worshiping him. Spend time just loving him and expressing our love to him. All of this before we begin our petitions. Things that we're asking him for. And then seeking to know him, to know who he is and what he is and what he's like. He wants this intimacy with us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to reveal ourselves to him. Take time for the Lord every day. Secondly, there is the need of faith and perseverance. Whether we are seeking to know him or whether we are seeking for certain things to take place in the world scene through our intercession, it takes faith. Faith that God is who he says he is and that he loves you, that he cares about your prayers, that he cares about your needs and the things that he's placed upon your heart to pray on his behalf. And then perseverance. If we stop in midstream, I like to tell this story, even though it has nothing to do with prayer, it tells the story so perfectly. There was a man who decided he was going to become wealthy by digging for oil. And he had, I don't know what they call them, oil diggers, something like that. And he was digging for oil, and he went on and on and on and on, trying to find oil. Finally, his money ran out, he gave up. And he sold his oil digger. Well, the next man that came along saw it. He bought it. And he said, do you know where this man was digging? And the man who sold him the instrument said, sure, I'll tell you. Anyway, to make a long story short, he arrange to get the property, he began digging oil in the same place the other man left off. And Sid, in one day, he hit oil. In one day. Because he did what the other man didn't do. He finished the job. And that's how it is with prayer. We must persevere, whether it's just to know him, whether it's because we're needing certain things from him, family members, world situations, whatever the case may be, to persevere in faith, knowing that he's honorable and he will answer our prayers. Outside of the prayer closet, we need issues such as living a life of obedience to the best of our ability to his known will, living a life of humility.
Well, what does that really mean? What does humility really mean?
True humility is absolute selflessness. You are no longer aware of yourself. You live only for him. You're aware of him, his needs, his desires, his wants. You're not, and you walk before man in the same way because you have become selfless. That's true humility.
Well, that's the Shema, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You just described the Deuteronomy 6:4.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, and by the way, you cannot do that except true humility. You can't love the Lord that way unless your heart has been wrought in humility. You can't love your neighbor as yourself. And Sid, who is your neighbor? The Lord helped us understand that when he gave us the parable in the Gospels. He told us that our neighbor is our enemy. When he gave the parable about the Samaritan. Who was the Samaritan good to? His enemy. Our neighbor is not the nice guy next door, but our neighbor is the guy that we least want to love, that we least want to give goodness to. So, walking in the love of God so much as we can at any given time, walking in the humility of the Lord so much as he has done this ministry in our heart, and he'll be able to do it according to the time that we give to him in prayer and walking in obedience.
No shortcuts.
Not really.
No easy way.
Well, not really.
No instant way.
No instant mashed potatoes in heaven. But I'll tell you, the path wrought in God is the most wonderful path a human being can ever walk. You will have trials. You'll have perplexities. You'll have confusion at times. But the relationship with him is so extraordinary that it outdoes anything you'll have to go through to live there. Seeing him face to face, said one time, looking into his deep sea blue eyes one time, seeing him smile with the glory of heaven radiating from his face one time, hearing his voice audibly, so soft, so sweet. The song said all of earth stopped to hear him speak. And I want to tell you that if you hear his voice one time like that, you'll want to hear it a million times. It is so wonderful. If you see him face to face one time, you'll want to see him face to face like that 10,000 times because he's so beautiful. He is so wonderful to behold. To look into his eyes. His eyes, though blue, are like liquid pools of love. They don't look like our eyes. When he's looking at you, you feel like you're the most loved human being on the face of this earth. You feel like you're the only human being on the face of the earth. To see him like that one time is worth anything you'd have to go through to do it. And yet, you will see him like that many times. You will hear his voice like that many times.
I mean, it seems like almost every time I bump into you, you've just had a visitation from the Lord.
Well,
why do you have so much?
Because he owns me. That's the only reason. There's nothing about me. I'm not an extraordinary human being. If you look at me, I'm just the opposite. I'm about as plain bread as you can want to meet. There's nothing extraordinary about me at all.
Now, by the way, we did a television show, and you refused to let the makeup artist make you up. How come?
Because the Lord has asked me not to wear makeup for two reasons. Number one, it is putting the world on my face, and those were his words.
This isn't for everyone. This is you.
Right.
Okay.
And then secondly, he later told me, he said, I don't want people to think that they have to be extraordinary to have a walk with me. I want to present you as ordinary a human being as I can, so that people will know that I will walk with anyone, regardless of their background.
But we recently did a big meeting, and you didn't show up in fancy clothes. you were, how come?
Well, for that
same
reason.
I mean, that's not the way it's done on Christian television.
No,
you
know
that, don't you?
Yes, I know it. But that's how Messiah would show up, if that's how he came. He wouldn't show up in a king's robe. He would show up in a shepherd's garb.
You talk to me about different levels in heaven. Explain that very briefly.
Very briefly. The level of heaven, well, like we have down here on earth, there are people who walk with God in different levels, the same thing in heaven. And you will walk in the glory that you have attained to here on earth. So, and what rules that glory? The amount of love you walk in and the humility you walk in, those two things. If you walk in divine love, you're going to walk in the highest glory in heaven.
Yes, but eventually you'll walk in that way, assuming you're in heaven. Or will you ever catch up to that point?
If you come into heaven, let's say that you are just now born again and something happened, you passed on 2 weeks from now. You would always walk in the same level of heaven. Even though heaven graduates every day and every year, you will always walk in the same level in respect to those who walk in the higher level throughout eternity.
So there's a lot at stake in this
life.
There's
a tremendous amount of things at stake.
All right, Ms. Bilko, we're out of time, but I'm making available this week Nita Johnson's book, The Overcoming Life Through Prayer. It's a book that will change your whole attitude on prayer. $10 postage paid, Shabbat broadcast. I want to pray over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your flesh. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'asem lecha.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, cassette catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Look us up on the web, www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.